Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Adam Purcell, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Mount Vernon campus. This past Sunday in Mount Vernon, we jumped back into our Dumb Tax series where we're looking in the book of Judges, and we finally got around to doing Gideon. And so Gideon begins, his story begins in Judges chapter 6. And so looking at Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years." And then when you read the rest of Judges 6, 7, and 8, really you're reading the story of how God sent Gideon to save his people from what Midian was doing to them. And when you read the beginning of 6, really, it's talking about how the Israelites, they have to live in caves because where they live isn't safe, and the Israelites don't really have access to food because anything they plant or any of their livestock, the Midianites would just swoop in and take it all from them. And so the Israelites, they're calling out to God, but if you notice in Judges 6:1, they're doing evil, not necessarily in their own sight, possibly that's true, but they're doing evil in the sight of God, which is really what matters the most. And there are two really simple ideas that I want to point out to you that we see as themes in Gideon's story. And the first theme is that the people of God, Israel, they wanted God to solve their circumstance problem. You know, their circumstances weren't great. Like I said a moment ago, they were having to hide in caves from their enemies. They weren't able to have reliable food sources because, again, their enemies were coming and stealing those things. And so they're crying out to God, saying, God, please save us from our circumstances. God, please come and solve our circumstance problem. And God is a good and gracious God. And so he responds to their pleas for help, and he sends Gideon to come and to save them from their circumstance problem. Now, the thing that you see at the end of the story of Gideon is that things are just as bad as they were before. The Israelites are returning right back to their sin and their idolatry and their rejection of God, even though he had just saved them from their circumstance problem. And that reminds us of something that we need to be reminded of, is that we are so like the Israelites. We often call out to God and we're asking him to solve our circumstance problem. And that's a good and right thing to do. God loves you and he delights in solving what I'm calling our circumstance problem. But more than a solution for our circumstance problem, we all need a solution for our sin problem. And so God sent Gideon to solve the Israelites' circumstance problem, but God sent his son Jesus to solve our sin problem, which is the far more deadly and pervasive problem that you and I deal with. And so I just want to encourage you today to remember that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God has made a way to solve your biggest problem, and that is your sin problem. Your sin and my sin, it makes us dead. It makes us guilty before a holy God. It separates us from him, and we needed God to do something to solve that for us. And praise God, he's done that through his son Jesus. And because Jesus has died and paid the penalty for our sin and now has conquered death and is reigning, he has all authority over heaven and on earth, he makes us new, all of us who call upon the name of Jesus. And so we've gone from being guilty to being forgiven. We're not enslaved anymore, but rather we're empowered. We're free to finally obey God from a free conscience. And I want to point out to you also, just like God sent his son Jesus, God has also sent us. You and I carry the message of the great news that there is a God who has done something to solve our greatest problem, and that is our sin problem. And so today I want to encourage you, as someone who has been sent, as someone who is a missionary in Christ, we do whatever it takes to reach the one. And so, do you know who your one is? Is there one, maybe two or three, you know, a small number of people that you could point to right now and say, yeah, I know them, and as far as I know, they don't know the Lord? I want to encourage you to intentionally pray for them. And I want to challenge you sometime over the next, say, 2 or 3 weeks, find a way to reach out to them, whether that's, hey, let's grab coffee, or please come to my home for dinner. But I want to challenge you to find a way to begin to cultivate that relationship so that eventually you might be able to share the great news of what God has done to save us from our sin with this person. Because as missionaries, we do whatever it takes to reach the one. And so let's take a moment and let's pray. Let's ask God to give us wisdom as we think about who we should try to focus our attention on to share the gospel with. And let's pray that God will give us both wisdom and courage to do whatever it takes to reach the one. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of today. And Father, thank you that you delight in solving our circumstance problems. But more than that, Father, you have sent your son Jesus to solve our biggest problem. He solved our sin problem. And so, Father, please help us to trust your son Jesus, knowing that that's only how we can be made new. God, how we can be declared to be forgiven by you. And Father, please remind us that you have sent us. In Christ, we are missionaries. So, Father, please give us wisdom as we think about who's our one, so to speak, God. And God, please give us both wisdom and also courage as we prayerfully schedule some conversations over the next couple weeks to see people come to know and love your son, Jesus. We pray all of these things in his holy name. Amen. We want to encourage you now to take a few moments and to pray on your own as well. And we hope that you are having an awesome week. God bless. Well, thanks again for listening to the LifePoint Drivecast. We hope that you have an awesome day. God bless.